Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 384th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Circus Sports. Circus Sports is back with their Circus Survivor or Circa Millions contest. $14 million up for grabs. Get all the details at circussports.com.
Howdy, y'all, Jen Marinos. Welcome to episode 384 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This is dedicated to my children and my dogs for not interrupting me while I do this episode. So it's a preemptive dedication. We'll see if they earn it. Thanks for coming to the show. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, and we are back in your ear holes to finish off our UFC Fight Night Aspinall versus Ty Burra, aka UFC London breakdown. Yesterday's episode was a mammoth one. We broke down 9 fights. A lot of interesting fights, though. A lot of interesting lines, advantageous lines. What we got on a bunch of dogs. So make sure you listen to that if you have not already. Hopefully today's is just as good. Not as many fights, but we are going to finish off with our parlays and our props and our locks and our dogs and all that fun stuff. So before that, we have 6 fights to break down on the main card. And of course, I need someone to help me here. It would be the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I will say, while it's a 9 fight prelim card, there's not a fight on there where I'm like, I don't really want to watch that, apart from maybe I don't really want to see Brian Barberena get beat up. And as we talked about on the last episode, I kind of think he's gonna. But apart from that, like the other 8 just are like kind of fun and intriguing fights.
Yeah, nothing super high stakes. Other than for the fighters involved, nothing like that's probably, well, I guess the women's bantamweight fight is pretty high stakes. There's some ranked fighters.
Yeah. That's a pair of like top 10 ranked fighters. Yeah. And then I will also say, I think Marcos versus Grant winds up being fairly high stakes. Like Grant is 5-2 in his only loss to ranked fighters. He's only lost to Marlon Vera and Adrian Yanez, which means if Marcos can get by him, I mean, like, he probably puts himself in a conversation at bantamweight, which is not easy to do 2 fights into your UFC career.
No. Yeah, so definitely listen to that. I'm sure you have, because you're hardcores. All our listeners are hardcores. Thank you for helping us basically every month, pretty much. Not to humble brag here, but every month we seem to get new download records. So thank you for that. It's not us, it's you. You're the people that make that happen. So thank you, hardcores and sickos, and all our friends listening to the show. All right, we should probably jump into her, because, like I said, 6 fights. Got some fancy picks to do at the end. We'll have some banter in between. It'll be a good time. Before we get into that, I'll tell you about another good time. A good time to win some money is over at Circa Sports currently. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back. $14 million in guaranteed prizes are up for grabs. Circa Millions gets you, in that one, you have to pick 5 NFL picks against the spread each week. And Circa Survivor, all you have to do is pick a different money line winner each week. Gumby says Cowboys for the first week. You enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Sports Gambling Podcast will be out there the last weekend in August. CircaSports.com for all the details. That's CircaSports.com. Have you decided what you're doing with your $14 million when you win?
No, I told you. When it rolls back around to UFC Boston, I'll probably need that money for extra ticket. Yeah, I'm just going to hold on to it. Yeah, I'm kind of a low-key squirrely guy.
Good. You got it. Well, that's a good title, Dan. low-key squirrely guy.
Low-key squirrely guy.
Yeah, you said a good title for the last episode too, which I don't let you know in advance, but yeah, this one's good.
It better be Michael Johnson's truth. It better be Michael Johnson's truth.
I was thinking about that, but I don't want to be labeled that. Not at all. All right, so this is UFC Fight Night Aspinall versus Tybura, aka UFC at London, because it's going down in the O2 Arena in London, England, July 22nd, which would be this Saturday night. When's the main card start, Dan, since I forgot to look that up again?
Oh, I think it was
prelims are noon?
I thought it was 4 or 5 o'clock, but I'll get you the official in 2 seconds.
I can. Oh, really? Okay. 2 seconds we can wait for, I guess. Prelims were noon, I believe you said, right? On ESPN Plus and UFC Fight Pass.
Oh, no. Hang on. It's buried a little deeper than I thought it was. Sorry. Go ahead. Keep talking. Keep telling us I'll about this fight.
I bet part. I can beat you to it. This one is on ESPN Plus only, which means it may not be on TSN up here, which is a problem. 3 p.m. Eastern is when it's going to start.
How are they going to fit all of those prelims between noon and 3?
Maybe they plan on a bunch of fights falling off, Dan, because, yeah, 9 prelims in 3 hours seems like a lot, but good. No,
nobody's getting a post-fight interview.
Exactly. Keep it rolling, even though there's tons of UK fighters on the card who people want to hear from. Like the opener in the main card, featherweights, Lerone Murphy, a UKer, versus Joshua Koulibaly, a non-UKer. We tell you about, oh no, I lost the odds for Koulibaly. Let me see if I can do it another way. I typed in a low key squirrely guy and now the odds are gone down, but that's okay. Koulibaly is the underdog. I'm going to tell you about him first. All right. His nickname is Kuya, I think, right? K-U-Y. Let me scroll up. K-U-Y-A. Sorry. Kuya. Do you know what that means?
I don't.
Like older brother, like almost like a father figure, a brotherly figure, or a wise older person. So that is him. Koulibaly. He is 11-1-1, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, 3-1-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights, won his last fight via submission, used to fight at lightweight, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Inch of height over Murphy, 3 years younger. He's been outstruck over the UFC by 0.17 strikes per minute, plus 130. Lerone, the miracle Murphy, 12-0-1 with 7 knockouts, 4-0-1 in the UFC. He's won 4 straight fights, was a regional champion, used to fight at lightweight, striking and active striking and grappling stats better than Kuya's in the UFC. He's outstruck his opponents by 0.94 strikes per minute in the UFC, minus 150. Despite all that, I am still going dog here in Koulibaly. Murphy barely squeaked out a victory in his last fight over a fighter who's 0-2 in the UFC now. Koulibaly is seen to be looking better and better with every fight. So give me Kuya here at more plus money.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take Josh Koulibaly. I like the fact that, first of all, Koulibaly cracks. I think people sleep on how good his hands are and how powerful his hands are. And I think that's trouble against Murphy because Murphy ate a lot of punches from it was Gabriel Santos, right? Who beat him up?
Mosquitino.
Yeah, I thought Santos won that fight really easily.
Yeah, most people did. I looked at MMA decisions when I was breaking down the fight. Yeah, most people picked him to win that fight.
Yeah, but anyway, Koulibaly cracks. Even though he doesn't have knockouts in a little while, like you go back, he does have a bunch of them in there. I've seen him, you know, hurt guys like Charles Jourdain. That's certainly a good one to have in his resume. And also, like, sleepy good grappling, right? Like he only needed, what was it, like 6 seconds on the ground with Melsik Bogdasarian before he had his neck sunk in the choke and it was over. And that's really a win that's aged well, because Melsik Bogdasarian looked good against Tucker Lutz. He had a couple of good wins before that. That's now, you know, Melsik's only loss in the UFC was to Josh Koulibaly. I think Koulibaly brings a lot of things, and I think people sleep on how good he is. So, yeah, give me him at dog money here. I think that's a good play.
All right. I agree, obviously, because I picked it as well. All right. We're off with some plus money, which is always nice to start off with. Let's go down or up, excuse me, to lightweights. Jai Herbert versus Faris Zaim. So more UK, another UK fighter in Herbert. I would tell you about him first. The Black Country Badger, Jai Herbert, one of the best nicknames around.
Banger. Banger, not
Banger.
Badger.
I always put Badger. This happened last time, did it not?
I think I did.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
I think you also called him the Backcountry Badger last time.
But that's even better. Instead the Black Country Banger makes more sense. Oh my gosh. All right, Herbert, 12-4-1, 9 knockouts, 1 submission, 3. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. So he's been finishing all his losses. 2-3-1 in the UFC, 1-1-1 over his last 3. He did draw in his last fight. Was a Cage Warriors champion in previous life. 2 inches of height over Zaim. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.37 strikes per minute, plus 145, the number on him. Smile killer, Fariz Zaim. 13-4, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times. 3-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. 9 years younger than Herbert. Striking and grappling stats better than Herbert's. He's outstruck his opponents by 0.82 strikes per minute in the UFC, and he's at minus 150.
I'm going to go Jai Herbert here. What
really?
What did you say was the plus money
plus
on Herbert?
Plus 145.
Yeah, I think... I think if Fariz Zaim commits to grappling regularly, he's got a decent shot. But the fact of the matter is like, he really has decided to be a striker, which is kind of crazy. Because if you look at the early parts of his career, he was doing a lot of good work with his grappling. But since then, like, he's decided to throw his hands way more often and to just be a guy who stands up and has, like, fun fights on the feet. And it hasn't really worked out for him. And the part that worries me the most is he's not really used to fighting somebody with his length, right? Like, he's a pretty long, lanky guy, 6'1", 75-inch reach at lightweight. He's going to be the guy with less reach in this fight. He had a majority decision against Luigi Vendramini. He was badly outgrappled by Jamie Mullarkey. Terrence McKinney took it to him, which in retrospect, not a good loss. You know, Don Madge outgrappled him. I think if he's forced to stand and trade with Jai Herbert, I think Jai Herbert probably hurts him. Jai Herbert's got big power. I think people forget too, Jai Herbert dropped Ilia Topuria with a strike, you know, and granted, Topuria's coming up a weight class, but Topuria got knocked down by one of Jai Herbert's strikes. So like, Jai Herbert works well from range. I think if Zaim tries to trade with him from there, I think he's going to get hurt. Give me Jai Herbert. I'm going to start with double dogs here.
You know what? You sold me on it too. This is one of the ones I was going back and forth on. Mostly it was I dug into some stats on Nate Latshaw's site. They both spend 46% of their time striking from distance. Zaim is better striking from distance. Like his differential is much better than Herbert's, but he's not hit as hard as Herbert does. Herbert's got a much higher knockdown rate. Zaim has never knocked anyone down in the UFC. And when it comes to grappling, Herbert's just maybe not just as good as grappling, but his grappling stats are better than Zaim's as well. So yeah, I think he is worthy of a stab at the underdog money as well.
I'll throw this in here too, you know, because you mentioned they're about the same percentage striking from distance. But would you rather have a guy with the same striking percentage from distance who's fought the likes of Luigi Vendramini, Don Madge, and Michael Figlak? Or would you rather have the guy who's fought in Ilia Topuria, Renato Moicano, Francisco Trinaldo, even Kyle Nelson? That win is aged kind of well. Kama Worthy is outside of the UFC, but he at least throws well from distance. Like, the guys Jai Herbert has fought to rack up those kind of stats, I think way better than the guys Fariz Zaim has fought to rack up his stats.
Yep. Very good point. Plus, the power is definitely in the banging Badgers favor. So Herbert, Herbert's the pick. All right, we're going dog here again. Let's see. Middleweight. It's Paul Craig dropping down to middleweight versus Andre Muniz. Craig, the Bear Jew, 16-6-1, 3 knockouts, 13 submissions. So he's finished all of his wins. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. So he's gone to the distance twice by my math. 1 draw and 1 decision loss. 8-6-1 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. Before that, he won 4 straight. Lost his last fight via TKO. He used to fight or predominantly fought at light heavyweight. This, in fact, this is 185 debut. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion. He also is a pro grappler. He also went 1-0 as a pro kickboxer. 2 inches taller than Muniz. More active landing strikes than Muniz is. He's been outstruck by his opponents in the UFC by 0.44 strikes per minute. He's at plus 190. Sergipano Andre Muniz. Or Andre Sergipano Muniz. That sounds better. 23-5. 4 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out four times, submitted once. So he's been finished in all of his losses, mostly by knockout. 5-1 in the UFC, lost his last fight via submission. Uh-oh. He went 2-0 in the Contender Series. He's a regional champion. Used to fight up at light heavyweight as well. 2009 pro MMA debut for him. 2 inches of reach on Craig, 3 years younger. Striking and grappling stats in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.38 strikes per minute. He's at minus 220. Give me Muniz here. Craig, this is the classic. He's not super old, but he's going to be, what, I think 36 later this year. But guy later in his career, struggling to win fights at his natural weight class, decides, hey, I'm going to move weight classes. And that's what he's doing here. He's moving up to light heavyweight against a guy who is just as dangerous as he is on the feet, and a better striker than him, and younger and longer. And basically, everything's pointing to Muniz here. So give me Andre Muniz.
Yeah, and for me, I think this is a better move stylistically in weight than Brian Barberena's is, right? We were talking about Brian Barberena kind of getting bullied at 170 pounds, and he decides to go up where people are stronger and bigger. Doesn't make much sense. Whereas here, Craig, he's not getting any top positions in his grappling up at 205, so he's going to come down to 185. I think there's a chance he takes 185ers down, right? There's a chance he winds up not just looking for submissions off of his back nonstop for 15 minutes and then losing a decision, or having people pull out of his guard and forcing him to stand up and having him flop like a fish for 15 minutes. Like, it's a good move, I think, for Paul Craig. Let me first of all say that. Okay. But the problem being is the moment he dropped down, they gave him the worst possible matchup at that weight. Right? He's not going to submit Andre Muniz. I think Andre Muniz is a better wrestler than him. As you mentioned, he's stronger, he's longer, he's, you know, younger. All of those things work against Paul Craig. If you had dropped Paul Craig down and given him a striker at this weight class, or even given him somebody like Mahmoud Muradov, like, I would favor him. I would like his chances to pick up a submission against Mahmoud Muradov. I don't like his chances to do it against Muniz. As bad as Muniz looked against Brendan Allen, that loss has aged well. I think, yep. I think his submission game holds up here. I also think he probably just stalls every submission attempt from Paul Craig and either beats him up from on top or beats him up on the feet. So, I'm going Muniz here too. I feel pretty comfortable about that number.
Hate to say it, Paul Craig, you're a fun one, but yeah. He seems to be on this slippery slope, down, down, down in his career. All right, we're going to go up, up, up. Actually, down to down weight class, but up, up, up the fight card to featherweights. Nathaniel Wood versus Andre Feely. We're just flying through the main card here. Touchy Feely, of course, is the nickname. Another one of the best nicknames in the business. 22-9 with 1 no contest. 9 knockouts, 3 submissions for Feely. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. 10-8 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's gone 1-2 with 1 no contest over his last 4, and 2-3 with 1 no contest over his last 6. He did win his last fight. He's missed weight before. 2009 is something, his pro MMA debut. 5 inches height, 5 inches of reach over Wood. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.2 strikes per minute, plus 188 is the number. Nathaniel Wood, the prospect, even though he's in his 30s, 19-5, 9 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, 6-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights and 3 of 5. Has not lost since October of 2020. Used to fight down at a bantamweight, was the Cage Warriors champion at that weight class, 1-0 in Bellator, 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 years younger than Feely, better striking stats, and he's almost 2 times more active landing strikes, better grappling stats as well, and he's outstruck his opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute in the UFC, plus 1.92, minus 200 is the number on the board.
My turn?
Yep.
I'm going to take Nathaniel Wood. I've really liked his move up to featherweight. Originally, I was a little bit hesitant on it. I didn't think he was going to play that well up there because he's so small. But his speed is just a game changer, I think, in a lot of fights. You know, you saw it in the Charles Rosa fight, and then he really settled in the – was it Charles Jourdain he fought second? I think it was Charles Jourdain he fought second.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so he really settled in that Charles Jourdain fight. He looks fast. He looks sharp. I still think the wrestling's there. It might be harder for him to wrestle with Andre Feely. But then you also have to just kind of, like, worry about Andre Feely's chin, too, right? Joe Anderson Burrito tagged him and really put him out in a way that like makes you worry about him in future fights. I'm not saying Nathaniel Wood is like a big heavy puncher, but he is really fast and cracks a little bit. Plus, like, you know, that Feely win over Bill Algeo, that's not a fight I really would, you know, would instill me with much confidence. Because, you know, Bill Algeo, I've struck him pretty heavily. And Bill Algeo is not nearly as fast as Nathaniel Wood is. So I think Nathaniel Wood's just going to outwork him. He's going to be way faster and going to deal with him pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Wood is my pick as well. Yeah, more dangerous on the feet and younger fighter. And Dan said, much more faster and more athletic. So he is the pick here, as is Underdog Fantasy. They're our pick as well. We are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and NFL season player props. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and Underdog is available in so many states. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. So UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we shall continue our rapid move through this fight card. Co-main event time. Julia Stolarenko, co-main event. Just what we asked for. Women's flyweights, Molly McCann versus Julia Stolarenko. Stolarenko, 10-7-2 with 9 submissions. She's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 1-5 in the UFC. She's won 1 of her last 5 fights. 1-4, that would be her record. She did get TKO'd in her last fight. She's fight at bantamweight and featherweight, so she was up 2 weight classes before. 1-0 Invicta and was the champion there. Was a regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut. Was a Lethway champion, a BJJ champion. She's got 3 inches of height, 4 inches of reach on McCann and is 3 years younger. She's been outstruck over the UFC in the UFC by 1.86 strikes per minute, plus 200 for her. Meatball Molly McCann, another great nickname. 13-5 with 6 knockouts. She's been submitted twice, 6-4 in the UFC. She won 3 of her last 4, lost her last fight via submission, has missed weight before, was the Cage Warriors champion, also was a regional champion. Striking stats in her favor, and she's twice more active landing strikes. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.82 strikes per minute, minus 205. So the UFC are back to feeding up big fat meatballs to Meatball Molly. They like to give her, not cans, because that's rude to say, but they like to give her favorable matchups, we'll say, in her fights. And seems when they don't do that, she loses. Now they're back to giving her a favorable fight in her home country. So yeah, obviously McCann is the pick here. Assuming she can keep it on the feet. I'm hoping that she can. Could be in trouble if Stolarenko gets her down, but I think Meatball is going to light her up in the feet and win the fight.
Yeah, so, you know, to the serving her up big fat meatballs, I thought you were taking a stab at the fact that Stolarenko's missed weight a bunch of times.
Oh, no, that would be mean. I wouldn't do that. But you would, apparently.
No, but with that being said, I'm with you on this one. I like Molly McCann. I think she's probably going to finish Stoliarenko here. Because, look, if you're missing weight at 135 pounds, what are you doing going to 125 pounds? You know, you would have to assume she's doing some kind of amazing strength and conditioning program. And I don't assume that. I assume she's making an ill-advised choice. I hope this fight actually gets to the cage because I'm concerned about that. It was her that fainted on the scale, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And that's what a smart man on Top Turtle podcast said, who sounds a lot like you. So maybe that's you confirming what you said. But yeah, no, I think you're correct in that.
All right. So yeah, like I don't give her, you know, I don't trust the fact that she's going to fight at 25. I don't trust that she'll have the energy to take down Molly McCann more than once. And also, let's just talk about the fact that she just lost largely in a grappling match to Chelsea Chandler. And that is a loss that has aged very poorly, because Chelsea Chandler didn't look very good in her grappling in her last fight. So yeah, I think Molly McCann here. I also think Molly McCann by late stoppage is probably a good pick. If you look at her KO in the third round prop, it's like 11 or 12 to 1, depending on where you're looking. And if you think she's going to get it done in the second, like plus 800, I don't think she's going to come out there and get her done in the first round. I think she's going to wear her out in the first round, but if you wanted to even stack those two second and third round pops, it's going to pay 4-1 either way if you bet both of them, right? So 4-1 or 5.5-1. So I like both of those plays too.
Yeah, I didn't even mention the weight cutting issue here. So yeah, that's another thing that's in the favor of Stolarenko. So all right, it's main event time, is it not? It is. All right, heavyweights, Tom Aspinall versus Marcin Tybura is what is being served up as the main course here. We'll tell you about Tybura first. Tybur is a nickname. So his last name minus one letter. Very, very good. My nickname's Foe then. Dan, I think I did the joke before, didn't I?
I've heard it once or twice before. Fred.
Your nickname's Relan. All right. Tybur is 24-7, 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. 11-6 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights and 7 of 8. Was the M1 a champion for this 2011 Pro MMA debut. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.24 strikes per minute. He's at plus 360. Aspinall, 12-3, 9 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, 5-1 in the UFC. Got TKO'd in his last fight, so that was a knockout, but it really was an injury, knee injury. So he hasn't really been knocked out yet. 1-0 as a pro boxer. 2-inch sight on Tybura, 8 years younger. Striking stats in his favor. Grappling stats in his favor, and he's 2 times more active landing strikes than Tybura is. He's got, listen to this strike differential, 4.54 strikes per minute. Pretty impressive at for a guy who can crack like him. And he's at minus 450. There you go.
I don't love the number on Aspinall, but I'm going to go Aspinall. The only thing that gives me hesitation is, like, how bad is his knee? You know, like, for the same reason I, like, hesitated on the Panikian Zod front. Like, I'm hesitating on the Tom Aspinall front, because like, what happens if his knee is really messed up? And so I'm going to take him here. I like him. I think he cracks better on the feet. I think he's better than Marcin Tybura everywhere. Marcin Tybura is a grinder, and he's not I don't think he's a better wrestler than Aspinall. We saw Aspinall take down Volkov and just beat the hell out of him down there before he submitted him. And like, Marcin Tybura is a guy who wants to turn it into that kind of fight. And I don't think he's better at it. And then if Aspinall decides to shuck off the takedown attempts, we're going to do this standing. And if we do this standing, Aspinall's going to knock him out. Like, he's got the power to knock him out. Tybura takes enough punches. So, yeah, I like Aspinall. I don't think I like negative 450, but I do like him to win here.
Yeah, you don't really like minus 450 in a heavyweight fight, especially for a guy who's coming off an injury. It hasn't even been a full year yet. I think it's one day less than a year from when he got injured. So, yeah, he's my pick as well. Just a way better fighter, a younger fighter, more dangerous fighter. But 450, probably not going to get into our recommended place. So, all right, that, speaking of that, we're gonna jump into that in a second after I recap our picks here. We both have Aspinall. We both have McCann. I almost had you with Stolarenko. No. Both have McCann. We both have Wood. We both have Muniz. We both have Herbert. And we both have Koulibaly. A straight consensus across the board for us. All right, time for our locks, our dogs, our props, and a parlay. I believe I'm first up. This time for a lock, I'm going to take Andre Muniz at -220.
You know, that was almost my play. I'm going to go Molly McCann. I think her path to victory is pretty clear. I think the fact that Stolarenko's coming down in weight, I just kind of, my bigger fear is that the fight doesn't happen. I'll probably hold off through weigh-ins to bet on this fight, not even because I need to see how people look on the scale, just because I don't believe it's going to happen.
Oh, okay. There we go. Dog time. Let me see. Give me in the opener, Bariz at +110 over Filo.
I'm also going to go early in the fight card as well for my underdog, but I'm going to take, Achmos. His power is intriguing, and the fact that he's got the wrestling in the back pocket also is very tempting.
Achmos +130 for Gumby. All right. Fancy play now, a prop play. Let me think. Do I have anything for a prop? Do you have one off the top of your head? And I can see if I can think of one here, Dan. I don't have.
Sure. I'm going to go with Jai Herbert by knockout as my big prop of the week. It seems likely that he's going to tag Ferris Zayamif the longer they stay on the feet. And it's 450 on a Jai Herbert knockout, which seemed kind of crazy to me because I thought that was like the clearest way he could win. And he's not a huge underdog. So, yeah, I like Jai Herbert knockout +450.
All right. Let me check on the number on this one if I like it or not. Where is Muradov via knockout? I don't see it. Do you see odds for it anywhere?
So that one hasn't been posted for knockout yet, okay. Which is kind of annoying. But Muradov inside the distance is +135.
Okay.
Like, you could play just straight inside the distance and like, wait on the KO prop. I mean, you got to imagine the KO prop's going to wind up being right around, like, +200 or maybe a little bit more than that.
Probably. Here, I got another one I'm thinking of. Let me check that. I'm sure everyone loves me killing time checking odds here. Let me okay, give me Marcos via knockout. What do you think of that? +250 over dangerous Davy Grant, who's never been knocked out before, but I think it could happen here. A younger,
he has had his jaw broken though, although that was in a win. Yeah. Yeah, I like Marcos by knockout. I think there's a real possibility there. So I dig that play. So Marcos KO. I'm just sticking that in my spreadsheet as well.
250. All right. So we got McCann and Muniz as our locks. We got Achmos and Bariz as our dogs. We got Herbert knockout, Marcos knockout as our props. So we're looking for some knockouts this weekend. And now time for the Hungerman John Superfan parlay. Two fights going to pay you big money when we hit. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm just going to take two inside the distance props here. Two fighters who I think can get it done. I'm not going to get real picky and choosy about the knockouts and submissions. Because there's not a lot of those props posted for the early fights yet. I'm going to take Achmos inside the distance. I mentioned I like him as my dog of the week because of his power. I like him to win straight up because, you know, there is a chance maybe he just gets too much wrestling going to get the finish. But as far as throwing a big parlay out there, him inside the distance is +250 right now, which I think is a valuable play there because then you can get the rear naked choke in there too if he does happen to take down Duncan and work from there. And I'm going to pair that with Jamal Pogues inside the distance. Pogues hasn't been a big finisher lately, but he is fighting a guy in Mick Parkin who hasn't gone the distance in a lot of his fights. I think his gas tank is kind of crappy and his striking defense isn't all that great. So I think there's a real chance that Pogues gets his first finish in a while here. That one's also +250 inside the distance. And I'm playing that one inside the distance too, because Pogues, like I mentioned earlier on yesterday's show, I like the fact that he came up as a grappler and he kind of has those skills in his back pocket. I think we could see Parkin just tire out and wind up getting choked out too. So, that's 250. Achmos inside the distance is +250. That gets you +1125 on the return.
Nice. That's what we like to see. All right. We are done. That is it for UFC London, except for Sunday when we come back and recap and count all the money that we won. You can catch us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. We're in the fights channel normally. It's jumping even when fights aren't happening. When fights are happening, it's very, very busy in there. So make sure you get in there. Have some fun. Twitter, SGPN MMA, Jeff Fox Writer, and Gumby Vreeland are the handles. my Substack, sign up and enter my pick 'em contest, free pick 'em contest at moneymma.substack.com. Listen to Gumby's other podcast, Minus Me, Top Turtle MMA Podcast. This week, he interviews someone from the prelims, Pani Khienzad, and Abdul Karim. What's his last name?
Al-Sawade.
Right, yep. Al-Sawade. He will be fighting. What week of Contender Series is he on?
I believe he's on week 2.
Okay, so very soon, a few weeks, we shall be seeing him fight. So listen to those interviews. They're very good, as all his interviews always are. And then all good things in sports gambling can be found at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby, take us out of here.
All right, I'm Dana Gumby Freeland. He's Meatball Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.